إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates, and I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is His servant and His messenger. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, in probably what will be our last session in the series of Ramadan topics, tonight we want to discuss the matter of the obligation of Zakat al-Fitr, the obligation of Zakat al-Fitr upon the Muslims at this time, as we come to the end or near the end of the month of Ramadan. This particular topic is a topic that we have discussed previously on a number of occasions, and we have discussed it with some of the brothers here at the Fajr prayer, and there is definitely a need every year that we remind ourselves of certain matters related to the Zakat al-Fitr. So I want to read tonight. Tonight, instead of reading from Majalis Shahr Ramadan that we have been reading from, the sittings for the month of Ramadan of Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen, tonight we're going to read from Al-Jami' li Ahkam Fiqh Sunnah. Al-Jami' li Ahkam Fiqh Sunnah. That is the collection of rulings related to the fiqh of the Sunnah by Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen. In this book, the Shaykh deals with all of the matters related to fiqh, all the various chapters of fiqh, including tahara and salat and zakat and siyam and hajj and marriage and divorce and buying and selling and other matters that a Muslim is in need of to know the legal rulings related to them. The chapter that we want to read from tonight is from Kitab al-Zakat. Kitab al-Zakat. And specifically, the sub-chapter related to Zakat al-Fitr. The Shaykh says that we will talk about Zakat al-Fitr from five areas. أولاً حكمها والحكمة منها. And the first area we want to talk about is the حكم of Zakat al-Fitr. What is the legal ruling concerning the Zakat al-Fitr? What is this ruling? Is this something that's obligatory? Is it mustahab? What is the legal ruling? And along with that, the hikmah. The hikmah of Zakat al-Fitr. Yani what is the wisdom behind the legislation of Zakat al-Fitr? What is the purpose, objective, or reason for its legislation? ثانياً جنسها. Yani the second matter that he said we will talk about is the Zakat al-Fitr. What is it? Is from what type of wealth? And is it from money? Is it from food, clothing, housing, cattle, crops? What is it the Zakat al-Fitr taken from? The third matter, ثالثاً قدرها, يعني the amount. What is the required amount of Zakat al-Fitr? رابعاً وقت إخراجها. And the fourth matter is the time when it is required to distribute the Zakat al-Fitr. What is its time? When is it due? خامساً مكان إخراجها. Yani the place where it has to be distributed from. Yani where is the place that the Zakat al-Fitr should be distributed? Okay, so these are five things. Actually, there are six things, but he has grouped the first two together. Al-Hukm wal-Hikmah, the ruling and the wisdom behind it. The type of wealth that is to be taken from, the amount of it, the time of its distribution, when is it due, and the place of its distribution. So I'm gonna rearrange the order just a little bit, because these five topics, or six, you know, One of them is very lengthy, and it is the most disputed area, so we'll save it for last, inshallah. So we're going to do the first matter first, the hukm and the hikmah, and then we're going to do the third matter, its amount, and then the fourth and fifth matter, its time and place, the time and place for the distribution of zakat al-fitr. Then we'll go back to the second matter, the type of wealth that zakat al-fitr should be taken from. Okay, so I'm mentioning that, so it will be known that I'm rearranging the order a little bit from the way the Shaykh mentioned it here. Okay, just for the sake of trying to emphasize and focus on the second matter, which we'll save for last. So that will be with us clear, inshallah. Okay, as far as the first matter, the hukum, the legal ruling of this sadaqah. What is the legal ruling? The Shaykh says, its ruling is that it is fariidah. It is an obligatory duty that has been made obligatory upon us by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as it is mentioned in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhuma. May Allah be pleased with him and his father. He said, Farada Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Excuse me, you brothers, you have to, you can't do this here, you know. You can't do this here, please. You're very disturbing, distracting. Abdullah ibn Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhuma, he said, Farada Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam zakat al-fitri sa'an min tamrin aw sa'an min sha'ir. That the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam farada, made obligatory upon us zakat al-fitr to be distributed as a sa'a. A sa'a is a measure of volume, not of weight, of volume, that something can fill a certain container whose volume is such and such and so, and if it fills that container, then that will be yani in accordance with that particular measure. In this case, the sa'a, as the Shaykh probably explains, and we will discuss it a little bit, a sa'a is approximately what is equal to what you can hold in the two palms of your hands. If you put your hands together and fill them four times, if you put your two palms together, what it fills is considered as one mud. And four of them is a sa'a. So that's approximately the measure, the volume, the measure in volume of a sa'a. So he said he has made obligatory upon us zakat al-fitr as a sa'a, this measure of dates, or a sa'a of sha'ir, barley. Okay, so these are two of the things that were common, staple foods in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, and the zakat al-fitr should be taken from the staple foods of the people, and it should be from those foods that are measured by volume, not by weight, and it should be from those type of foods which can be stored and preserved for a long period of time, not something that will spoil. And this is what we know is the common factors between everything that has been mentioned in the hadith as being the items that zakat al-fitr should be taken from, that they have these three qualities, that they are measured by volume, and that they are from the staple food of the people, the common food that the people normally eat, and is something that can be stored and preserved. The Shaykh then says, وَقَالَ أَبُو سَعِيدُ الْخُدْرِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ. In the second hadith, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, may Allah be pleased with him, said, كُنَّا نُخْرِجُهَا عَلَى أَهْدِ رَسُولِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. In another narration, عَلَى أَهْدِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم sa'an min ta'am, that we used to distribute the zakat al-fitr in the time of the Messenger of Allah, yani in the era, in the lifetime of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as a sa'a, the measure of volume of a sa'a of food, of food. And Abu Sa'id al-Khudri then said, wa kana ta'amuna at-tamr wash-sha'ir waz-zabib wal-'aqd, that in our food at that time, the common food, the staple food of the people at that time, he said, it was dates and barley and raisins and aqat. And aqat is yani a type of sun-dried or sun-baked cottage cheese or yogurt. Yani it's like a milk product, right, that is dried and baked in the sun until it becomes hard. And it's in a disc or it's in small pieces. And the people eat it. It's a food, a staple food that the people used to eat at that time. The Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he says, after mentioning this hadith, and wheat was not widespread amongst the people in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but rather it became plentiful and it was spread throughout amongst the people after that, yani in a later era, became more common, wheat. But wheat is also yani something that can be given as zakatul fitr, except that it wasn't from the staple food of the people at that time. It wasn't widespread. Many people didn't have it. So this is the ruling concerning this zakat. This is the ruling concerning this zakat. It is a fariḍa, an obligatory duty upon al-saghir wal-kabir wal-dhakar wal-unthar min al-muslimin. Yani the young and the old, the male and the female, from amongst the Muslims. As far as the fetus that is still in the womb of its mother, the distribution of zakatul fitr on behalf of the fetus is not obligatory. Not obligatory. But if a person distributes zakatul fitr on behalf of the fetus that's still in the mother's womb, yani voluntarily, then this has been narrated from Amir al-Mu'mineen, Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. So it is permissible, but it's not obligatory. And the saying of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, farada Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, yani in the hadith that the Messenger of Allah has made it obligatory, this is a dalil ala annaha fard ayn. This is a proof that this zakatul fitr or sadaqatul fitr, that it is fard ayn, meaning it's obligatory on every individual, on every individual from amongst the Muslims. So wal asl fi fard ayn, the Shaykh says, the original ruling concerning that which is fard ayn is that it is obligatory upon al mukallaf nafsihi, yani the one who has been appointed or assigned or required to fulfill a certain duty, that person, it's obligatory on them personally, not on somebody else, but every person for themselves. So every person who is responsible to fast, or every person who is responsible for any duty, then fard ayn is obligatory on every individual. Not like fard kifaya, which it is a general obligation on the community, on the group. If some people fulfill it, other people are free. Rather, this is fard ayn, and every person has to fulfill this duty of zakatul fitr or sadaqatul fitr. The Shaykh says, so the person, I mean, al-insan, yajibu an yukhrij zakatul fitr an nafsi. So every person must, it is obligatory on every person to distribute the zakatul fitr on behalf of their own self. On behalf of their own self. Even the son is responsible, is obligatory to distribute zakatul fitr on behalf of his own self. And the same way, every person who has been held responsible, who is of the age of responsibility, it's obligatory on that person to distribute zakatul fitr for their own self. And this is because huwa al-mukhatab biha, because every individual is the one who Allah has addressed with this responsibility. He addressed each person individually. However, if the head of a household distributes the zakatul fitr in the presence of his family and his children, and they see it being done, and they have no objection, they are in agreement with it, that he distributes the zakatul fitr on behalf of all of them, فَلَا حَرَجْ فِي هَذَا. Then there's no blame, there's no harm, there's nothing wrong with this. It's okay, he can do it. But the original rule is what? Is that a man has to distribute zakatul fitr for himself, and his wife has to distribute zakatul fitr for herself. And his children, if they are of the age of responsibility and are able, they have their own property or wealth, they have to distribute zakatul fitr for themselves. But if the head of the house does it for everyone, it's no harm in doing it. He can do it. Okay, this is the hukum. What is the hukum? It's obligatory on every individual from amongst the Muslims. What is the hikmah? As far as the hikmah of this obligation, the obligation of this zakat, the Shaykh says, فَالْحِكْمَ جَاءَ بِهَا حَدِيثٌ الْحَدِيثُ عَنَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فِي حَدِيثِ عَبْدِ الْإِبْنِ عَبَّاسِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُمَا. That the hikmah, the wisdom, or the reason, or the basis, the purpose of this obligatory zakat has come to us in the hadith narrated by Abdul ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, where he said, فَرَضَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ زَكَاةَ الْفِطْرِ طحرة للصائم من اللغو والرفث وتعمة للمساكين. This hadith is reported by Abu Dawood and Ibn Majah and Sheikh Al-Albani in Irwa Al-Galil said that it is sahih. Yani that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made obligatory the zakatul fitr as a tuhra, a purification for the fasting person from al-lagu wal-rafath. Yani from foolish, useless speech and indecent speech and indecent behavior. And also, secondly, as a tu'ma lil-masakeen. Yani tu'ma ta'am, as a food, a nourishment, a means of nourishment for the poor or needy people. So that it has two purposes. One, purification for the fasting person from whatever he has engaged in or she has engaged in that takes away from the perfection of their fast. This is to make up for that, to purify their fast from those defects in it. And the second purpose is for the poor and needy, that they will have food on the day of Eid, so that the Muslims who are in need, who might not have means for the day of Eid to provide food for themselves, they will not be hungry on the day of Eid. So hadhihi hiya al-hikmah. This is the wisdom, the hikmah behind the legislation of this obligatory zakat. It is purification for the fasting person, because the fasting person is not free in his fasting. No one is free from some type of yani senseless, useless, yani improper speech or behavior or indecent obscenities and behavior or speech that is muharram, haram. Every person falls into something of this. So this is the zakat which purifies the fast. And likewise, similarly, it is also a means of nourishment or food for the poor and needy on this day. Which day? Yawmul Eid, the day of Eid. On this day, it's for this day. So it's not to be distributed after the day of Eid. It's not to be sitting in the masjid for people to come and get it tomorrow and the next day and next week. Rather, it's for the people to have food on the day of Eid. It must be distributed before the Eid Salah. And this is so that the poor and needy people will share with the rich with the happiness of their day of Eid. The second matter that the Shaykh talks about, Thanian, the jins, the type of wealth from which this zakat is to be taken. And we're going to go past that and come back to it, inshallah. So we're going to go to point number 3, and that is qadruhu. Yani what is the amount that should be distributed as zakatul fitr? He said the amount is a sa'a. And this is based on the saying of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma. He said, فَرَضَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ زَكَاتُ الْفِطْرِ صَاعًا. That the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم made obligatory the zakatu fitr as a sa'a. Sa'a min tamra or sa'a min sha'ir. And likewise, also the proof of this is the saying of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu. He said, كُنَّا نُخْرِجُهَا صَاعًا مِن طَعَامٍ. That we used to distribute the zakatu fitr as a sa'a of food in the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this hadith is the second hadith recorded by Bukhari and Muslim, and the first hadith is recorded by Al-Imam Ahmad in his Musnad and Bukhari and Muslim, and Abu Dawud, At-Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Nasa'i in the Sunan. So from that which is well known is that these types yani of food that have been mentioned in the hadith of Abu Sa'id are 4. In the hadith of Abu Sa'id, he mentioned tamr, zabib, sha'ir, and aqat. Yani dates and raisins and barley and aqat. Yani sun-baked cottage cheese or something like this. Naam. He says, al-aqat, it is a leban, al-mujaffaf. Yani a type of milk or dairy product that is dried up. The moisture is taken from it. The water is taken from it. So it becomes dry. And then it is made into small discs. Or it is made into small little pieces, morsels, like little crumbs, to be eaten. And this, and these types, the Shaykh says, as far as these types of different things, dates and barley and raisins and aqad, هل هي متفق القيمة أو مختلفة؟ Yani are these things of the value, the monetary value of them, are they the same, equal, or are they different, unequal, in value? And this is an important point. Is the monetary value of the dates and raisins equal? One sa'a of dates equal to the same amount? Is the value of it the same as the sa'a of raisins? Or a sa'a of barley? Or a sa'a of something else? Are they equal? The Shaykh says, Al-Ghalib annaha mukhtalifatun. Generally speaking, they are different. They are not equal in value. But perhaps there may come a time when they might come into agreement. The value of them at some point in history, in some place, maybe they all may come to the same price. That's possible. But generally, they are not equal. Generally, they will not be equal. They will be different. So why has the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam decided or decreed or legislated that it be a sa'a of each one of those types, knowing that they are different in their values, that they are not equal in value, that the price of each of them are different from the other? Why has he made a sa'a for each of them? And this is so that, he said, the Shaykh says, this is so that there will not be separation or division amongst the people. Because if it had been said that what is obligatory is a sa'a from dates, and what is equal to that in value from raisins, or barley, or aqd, then the people would have differed in estimating, or pricing, or assessing the value of what is equal to a sa'a of dates in raisins. How much raisins is equal in value to a sa'a of dates? Or how much of barley is equal in monetary value to a sa'a of, or how much barley will you have to make it equal in price to a sa'a of dates? The people will differ in the assessment and the evaluation of the value of those different items to make it equal to one sa'a of dates. And this, the Shaykh says, will cause confusion. However, the legislation, the Sharia, has made for all the types of foods that are given zakat al fitr and made them equal as a sa'a. No confusion here. Sa'a, whatever you give, it's a sa'a. You don't have to worry about what's the difference in value from dates to raisins to barley to wheat or whatever, or rice. You don't have to worry about it. As long as you got a sa'a, whatever type of food you're going to give that fits in these categories, then it's good. No confusion. And this is so that the people will be precise and exact when they distribute the zakat al-fitr from these various types that have been mentioned, or others besides them, as long as it is ta'am, as long as it is food. And then the Shaykh says, فَإِذَا قُلْتْ مَا مِقْدَارَ السَّعَى. So if it is said, what is the actual measurement of a sa'a? And how do we measure the sa'a? He says, we have attempted to determine what exactly the sa'a will be equal to, and it reached قِلَوَيْن وَعَرْبَعِينَ جَرَامًا. Yani 2 kilos and 40 grams. 2 kilos and 40 grams. In weight, he said, that is what we found will fill a container that is equivalent to a sa'a. So if you are weighing it, then it should be approximately 2 kilos and 40 grams. 2.5 kilos or something like this. Close to it. So if a person takes a container that is sufficient, if it is filled, to take 2 kilos and 40 grams of wheat, pure wheat that is not has any defects in it or whatever, then that container that is filled with 2 kilos and 40 grams of wheat, you can use that to measure the zakat al-fitr for any other item in that same type of container. And you have fulfilled your obligation of a sa'a. And it is also known today that this measure that we are talking about, the container that's filled with 2 kilos and 40 grams of wheat, that it is less than the sa'a that is known today, that people are using, the sa'a measurement that people are using today. It will be less than what they are using today as a sa'a. Meaning the sa'a that they are using today is more than the sa'a that was used in the time of the Prophet ﷺ. And it is less than the qeel that is ma'ruf fil Hijaz. And also it will be less than this sa'a that the Shaykh has mentioned to us. It will be less than what is measured in weight. Okay? The kilo weight. It will be less than what is known today in the Hijaz. And in that part of the Arabian Peninsula, that is Mecca and Medina. However, the sa'ah of the Prophet ﷺ, it is less than the sa'ah that people are working with today in Najd, in another part of the Arabian Peninsula. And the weight that is well known, yani, in the Arabian Peninsula today, it is less. And that sa'ah that is less is the one that was known in the time of the Prophet ﷺ, and that's the one that we are required to fulfill. So, what is the amount of the sa'ah? It is approximately 2 kilos and 40 grams, which is about 5 pounds in weight. If you get a bag of rice or something, about 5 pounds or a little more than that, 5.5 pounds or so, that is what we are talking about. Number four, the time, waqt al-ikhraj. What is the time when the distribution of zakat al-fitr becomes due? Its time is yawmul eid, qabla as-salat. And its time is what? On the day of Eid, before the performance of the Salat. Before the performance of the Salat. And this is based on the saying of Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhumah, wa amara, in the second part of the hadith that we mentioned earlier, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made obligatory the zakat al-fitr. He said, wa amara an tuadda qabla khuruj an-nasi lis-salat. And he has also commanded that it be distributed, that this obligation be fulfilled before the people go out for the Salat, Salat al-Eid. Before the people go out for Salat al-Eid. And this hadith is mentioned by Ahmed and Bukhari and Muslim and Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi and Nasa'i. So this is its time. And this is the best preferable time for it to be distributed. Yani on the day of Eid, before the people go out for the Salat. Like after Salat al-Fajr. Because we know that the Salatul Eid will be after sunrise. And the day of Eid al-Fitr, the Salatul Eid would be delayed more than it is in Eid al-Adha. And the reason why it's delayed be a little bit more beyond sunrise is so that the people have a chance to distribute Zakat al-Fitr. So the best, the preferable time is after, on the day of Eid, like after Fajr, before the people go out for Salatul Eid. But if a person does it before that, as the Shaykh says, وَلَكِنْ يَجُوزْ أَنْ تُخْرَجْ قَبْلَ الْعِيدْ بِيَوْمٍ أَوْ يَوْمَيْنِ. But it is permissible. It's also permissible. Though this is the preferable time on the day of Eid, but it's permissible that it be distributed before the Eid day, 1 or 2 days before the Eid day. That's permissible. So it is permissible that it be distributed on the night of the 29th, the 29th night. Meaning the 28th day, that night after Maghrib, is the 29th night. So don't think about it on the 28th day, on the 27th day, or the 26th day, or the 25th day. But on the 28th day, when night comes, the 29th night, before the 29th day, he said 29th night, it is permissible for a person to distribute Zakat al-Fitr. And it's also permissible to distribute it on the 29th day, which is the day following the 29th night. 29th day, which probably will be the last day of Ramadan. But maybe not, because maybe it will be 30 days, right? But maybe it will be the 29th day, it's permissible on that day. Because that's the day before the Eid. And if it turned out to be 30 days, it will be 2 days before the Eid. And that's permissible for it to be distributed 1 day or 2 days before the Eid. So we're talking about what? The 29th night, or the following day, which is the 29th day. Or if it is 30 days, it can be the following night, or the following day. But it should be distributed before the people go out for the Salatul Eid. So the Shaykh says, what? It's permissible to distribute on the 29th night, and it is also permissible to distribute it on the 29th day, and it's permissible to distribute it on the 30th night, and it's permissible to distribute it on the 30th day. As far as distributed on the 27th day, this will not fulfill the obligation of Zakat al-Fitr. As far as distributed on the 28th day, then this 28th day is dangerous. Khata. Why is it dangerous? Because if the Eid is on the next day, 29th, you're okay. But what if it goes 30? Now you're out of place. Now you're too far off. 28th day. But that night, 29th night, you're okay. So if the month has 30 days, then that person who distributed on the 28th day, they will not have fulfilled the obligation. But if the month has 29 days, then it will be okay. They will have fulfilled the obligation. So, based on this, it is not proper or befitting that any person should distribute the Zakatul Fitr before the 29th day, or even the 29th night. And this is so that the person will not fall into the danger zone. As far as distributing it after the Salatul Eid, this is Muharram. After Salatul Eid is Muharram, haram, forbidden. It's la yajuz, not permissible. وَلَا تُقْبَلْ It will not be accepted from that person as صَدَقَةُ الْفِطْرِ And this is based on the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما مَنْ أَدَّاهَا قَبْلَ الصَّلَاةِ فَهِيَ زَكَاةٌ مَقْبُولَةٌ وَمَنْ أَدَّاهَا بَعْدَ الصَّلَاةِ فَهِيَ صَدَقَةٌ مِنَ الصَّدَقَاتِ Related by Abu Dawood and Ibn Majah and Shaykh al-Albani said that it is sahih. That whoever fulfills it or distributes the Zakatul Fitr before the Salatul Eid, then it is an acceptable Zakat, as Zakatul Fitr. And whoever distributes it after the Salat, then it is a general Sadaqah. Sadaqah min as-sadaqat, not Zakat, not Sadaqatul Fitr. The Shaykh says, Allahumma illa idha ata al-Eid wal-insan laysa indahu ma yukhraj, or ma yukhraj. Except. Perhaps the person who the day of Eid came and they didn't have anything to distribute as Zakatul Fitr. They didn't have anything. They didn't have any money. They didn't have anything to give. Now the Shaykh is saying this person may be excused if they distributed after Salatul Eid. Why? Because they didn't have anything to give before the Salatul Eid. So this person, either he didn't have anything to give or ليس عنده من يخرج إليه. He didn't have anybody to give it to. He couldn't find anybody. We don't have that excuse here, inshallah. Alaykum salam. Or he couldn't find anybody to give it to. So in this condition, if he distributes it, whenever it became possible or easy for him to do so, then he should do so. Whenever he's able to. Whenever he got something or he found somebody, then he give it. And likewise, another exception, that a person who gave after, it would be acceptable. If the person didn't know that it was the day of Eid, until suddenly it came upon him, unexpectedly. He didn't know it's day of Eid. And then he came to find out. And he had no way, it's not possible for him to distribute it before the Salat. So he delayed it and he distributed after the Salat. In this condition, he may be distributed after the Salat and it will be acceptable. And likewise, the person, for example, who depended upon someone, the people depending upon one another, some people depending on somebody else to distribute it on behalf of them by some agreement. For example, a person, a family is dependent upon the head of the family who is in another land to distribute the Zakatul Fitr on their behalf, but he's in another country. And then it became clear to them after the fact that he never distributed it. So those people, if they distribute it after the Eid, it's okay. And fourth case, he said, likewise, if a person from amongst the people, he is in another land, like in the Western countries. He means the Bilad al-Kufr, Bilad al-Gharb. And that person is dependent upon his family who is in their country to distribute it. And then his family in their country is depending on him to distribute it. Mixed communication lines. In this condition, if they distribute it after the Eid, then it's okay. They should still distribute it. So when is its time? Its time is on the day of Eid before the people go out for Salatul Eid. But it's permissible to distribute it 1 or 2 days before that. Fifth point. As far as the place of its distribution, مَكَانُ إِخْرَاجِهَا The place where it should be distributed, هُوَ الْمَكَانَ الَّذِي يُدْرِقُكَ الْعِيدِ The place where you ever you are when the Eid comes upon you. Yani wherever you are when the day of Eid arrives, that's the place where you distribute it. المكان الذي يدركك العيد. Okay, inshallah. Somebody remind me, we have a question here. Whatever place you are in, no matter if it is your land or another land, wherever you are when the Eid comes, that's where you distribute it. So, for example, the people who are making Umrah, and they are in Mecca, and they will remain in Mecca, perhaps, on the day of Eid, they are not going to travel before, like some people go for Ramadan, and when it came to Eid, they leave and go to their country quickly. But some people stay. So a person is in Mecca on the day of Eid, then the original ruling is that person should distribute the zakatul fitr in Mecca. And in this case, he will, two things, a right upon him will come upon him. One, that the place where he's residing at that moment, on the day of Eid, is the place where he's supposed to distribute zakatul fitr, that is Mecca. And likewise, Mecca is better, more preferable than other places. So first, it's obligatory upon him to distribute there because that's where he's at when the Eid came. And second, because Mecca is better than other places anyway, to do good deeds. Because al-a'mal al-saliha fi Mecca afdal min al-a'mal al-saliha fi ghayriha. Because righteous and good deeds done in Mecca is better than righteous good deeds done in other places besides Mecca. So if a person, if you are in another land other than Mecca, and the Eid comes upon you while you're in that other place, then you should distribute your zakat in that place where the Eid reaches you, wherever you are at that time. And finally, the Shaykh says, هَلْ يَجُوز أَن تُخْرِجَهَا فِي مَحَلْ إِقَامَتِكَ بِأَن تُوَكَّ أَهْلَكَ فِي إِخْرَاجِهَا. Yani, is it permissible to distribute the zakatul fitr in the place where you originally reside, your normal place of residence, by, for example, appointing your family to distribute it in your homeland where you normally reside, though you might not be there at the time when the Eid came? Is it permissible to do so? Now, we already said, the Shaykh already said that the place where you're supposed to distribute it is wherever you are, right? But now he said, what if a person appoints his family to distribute zakatul fitr in his normal place of residence, though he is not there? Is it permissible? He said, na'am, yajuz, dhalika, wala haraj. That this is permissible, and there's no harm. So what do we understand from that? If a person distributes the zakatul fitr in his land, his homeland, his original place of residence, it's permissible. However, what is preferable is that he distribute it wherever it is that he happens to be when the day of Eid comes. The last matter that we want to mention is the second matter that the Shaykh talked about, which is quite lengthy, and that's why we reserved it for last, so we can take our time and focus on this matter. And the second matter, it is jinsu hadhihi al-fitra. Yani, what is the type of wealth from which zakatul fitr or sadaqatul fitr is to be taken from? The Shaykh says, فَاسْتَمِعَ إِلَيْهَا مِنْ الْحَدِيثِ الَّذِي أَشَرْنَا إِلَيْهَا. Listen to this from the hadith that we have pointed to earlier. فَرَضَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ زَكَاةُ الْفِطْرَ صَاعًا مِنْ تَمْرٍ أَوْ صَاعًا مِنْ شَعِيرٍ. Abdul ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما, he said, the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he has made obligatory that zakatul fitr be distributed as a sa'a from dates or a sa'a from barley. Who is the one who made that obligatory? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Jayyid. Wa qala Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu, kunna nukhrijuha ala ahdi an-nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ala ahdi Rasulillah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sa'an min ta'am. That we used to distribute the zakatul fitr in the lifetime of the Prophet or the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a sa'a of food. Who does he mean by we? Kunna nukhrija. We who? Sahaba radiallahu anhu. When did they used to do this? While the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was living in their presence. That's what they used to do. So walladhi حَدَّثَ أَنَّ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَرَّحَ صَاعًا مِنْ شَعِيرٍ هُوَ عَبْدُلَّهِ بْنُ عُمَرَ. Yani, Abdullah ibn Umar, he is the one who has informed us that the Prophet of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم is the one who made obligatory the zakatul fitr as a sa'a of barley. And the one who said that we used to distribute it as a sa'a of food, it is Abu Sa'id Al-Khudri radiallahu anhu. And both of them are from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam radiallahu anhum ajma'in. So Abdul ibn Umar, first point, Abdul ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he has narrated to us the obligation from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the type of wealth for this zakat, he has narrated this to us, min kalam al-rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He has narrated this type, what is the type of wealth that is for zakat al-fitr? He narrated to us from the speech of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, saying that he has made obligatory upon us, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made obligatory upon us, zakat al-fitr as a sa'a of dates or a sa'a of wheat. Number two, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, he has mentioned what was the condition of the people in the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he said to us that we, in the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the companions, we used to distribute it as a sa'a of food. So, from these two hadith, يَتَبَيَّنَ أَنَّ الْجِنْسَ الْوَاجِبْ إِخْرَاجُهُ فِي زَكَاةُ فِتْرَ هُوَ طَعَامُ. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he said, from these two hadith, it became clear to us that the type of wealth which it is obligatory to distribute as zakat al-fitr, it is food. It's clear. I mean, I think it's clear. In any language. And that the person, if he distributes it as dirham, yani as money, as cash, dirham is dirhams. Dinars, dirhams, silver coins, dinars, gold coins. If a person distributes as cash money, فَإِنَّهَا لَا تُجْزِئُهُ, then it doesn't serve him any purpose as fulfilling his obligation. It does not fulfill the obligation. Does not. And if he distributes it as thiyab, clothing, it does not fulfill the obligation for him. And if he distributes it as farash, as furnishings, like furniture, then it does not fulfill the obligation. And if he distributes it as alat, other instruments or tools or something else that people might be in need of to use, like utensils, eating utensils, and things similar to that, فَإِنَّهَا لَا تُجْزِئُهُ, then it does not fulfill his obligation for him. لِأَنَّ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَرَضَهَا صَاعًا مِنْ تَمْرَ أَوْ صَاعًا مِنْ شَعِيرٍ. And why doesn't it fulfill it? Because the Prophet ﷺ, he is the one who has made it obligatory that it be distributed as a sa'a of dates or a sa'a of barley. And in some of the other narrations we will see that he has mentioned other items of food. All of them, food. Okay, the principle. What is the qa'ida from this, what the Shaykh has said here? وَكُلُّ قِيَاسْ أَوْ نَظَرْ يُخَالِفُ النَّصْ فَإِنَّهُ مَرْدُودْ عَلَى صَاحِبِهِ. That every qiyas, every person who use qiyas to make analogy between this and something else, to come to a new ruling, and every person who looks at it from their nazar, yani to use their intellect, to use some reasoning, to come up with a different ruling, a ruling that opposes or contradicts the nafs, the textual proof from the Quran or from the Sunnah, every person who comes with a qiyas or a view, an opinion that opposes the nafs, the text from the Quran or Sunnah, then it is mardood. It is rejected and returned to the one who came with it. Take your qiyas for yourself. Yes, we don't need it. What need do we have for it? After we have textual statement from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the practice of Sahaba by agreement, what do we need somebody's view after that for? Whoever's view it is, doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter whose view it is. You can name a lot of names. Doesn't matter. Because here we have the text from the Prophet ﷺ. What do we care about what anybody said after that? Allahu musta'an. He said, we are worshipping Allah Azza wa Jalla with what has come to us of the Sharia of our Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. We are not worshipping Allah by the desires of somebody who came up with what they feel and what they want, or by the tarajih, yani somebody came to the conclusion, they think it is stronger and better, that what their mind told them to do is better. Madama fil mas'ala nassun. As long as there is a text, then we don't have any need for what anybody's mind, intellect has come up with. We have no need for such. Because there's no good for us. And there's no choice for us in anything else other than what the Prophet ﷺ has brought to us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ahzab, 36 ayat, Surah Al-Ahzab, وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ. That it is not befitting, it is not the right of a believing man or a believing woman. Believer. You see Allah use the word mu'min. مَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَنْ يَكُونُ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ وَمَنْ يَعْسِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. So, it is not the right of the believing man or the believing woman, when Allah and His Messenger has decided a matter, that they have any choice in their affair. You don't have any choice in your affair after Allah and His Messenger has decided a matter. And whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا مُبِينًا. Whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, he has gone astray. Clear misguidance. There's no doubt about it. They have gone astray. Off the path. Na'am. They are misguided for sure. Whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, I mean, is there any dispute about that? Whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, do we have any doubt about they have gone astray? Allah said they have gone astray. So, if this is Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma saying that the Messenger of Allah has made obligatory farada, a sa'a from dates, or a sa'a of barley. And if it is Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu who is saying that we used to distribute the Sahaba in the lifetime of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, zakatul fitr as a sa'a from food. فَهَلْ الدَّرَاهِمْ فِي أَهْدِ الرَّسُولُ صلى الله عليه وسلم كَانَ مَفْقُودًا حَتَّى لَا تَجِدْ إِلَّا طَعَامٍ. Yani, is it possible, is it a fact that cash, money, in the lifetime of the Prophet ﷺ didn't exist? They didn't have any cash money, so that they didn't find anything except food, and that's why he said food, because there wasn't any money around. They didn't have any cash. They didn't have any currencies. Is that why? There was nothing but food, that's why he said food. So now, since we have money, we can give money? They're saying that. It's better to give money now. They have money then. The Shaykh says, Kalla, bal ad-dirahim kanat mawjuda. By no means. In fact, the dirahim, coins, cash, money, it was present. Al-dhahab, gold, was present. Silver, al-fidda, was present. The Prophet ﷺ said, and that which is narrated authentically from him in the hadith of Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu anhu, in reference to that those things which are considered riba, and what is not considered riba, he said, الذهب بالذهبي. You can exchange gold for gold. والفضة بالفضة. And silver for silver. Did they have gold and silver then? Sure. والبر بالبر والتمر بالتمر والشعير بالشعير والملح بالملح. And you can exchange wheat for wheat and dates for dates and barley for barley and salt for salt. So I'm saying now, I just add a little small point here, that if it was permissible, then the Prophet ﷺ, since there was cash, money, currency in that time, he would have told the people if that was what was permissible, or that was what was intended, or that was preferable, or in any way if it was permissible to do so. Because we have a qaida in the usul, لا يجوز تأخير البيان عن وقت الحاجة. لا يجوز تأخير البيان عن وقت الحاجة. It's not permissible to delay the clarification of a ruling concerning that which the Muslims are in need of beyond the time of its need. So the people needed to know. And if the Prophet ﷺ didn't make it clear, then that means it wasn't something that was intended. Otherwise, if it was intended, he'd have to make it known. So the Shaykh says, all of this was present in the time of the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet ﷺ did not choose to make obligatory the zakatul fitr on his ummah. He did not choose to make it obligatory, zakatul fitr on his ummah, except that he made it as a sa'a of dates or a sa'a of barley. فَكَيْفَ يَسُوقُ لَنَا بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ أَن نَقُولُ إِنَّ الْأَفْضَلَ الآن أَن نُخْرِجَهَا دراهم. So how do we get off? How do we find ourselves claiming that it is permissible after this clarification to say that it's better now to give cash money? Where do you come off saying that? Well, how do you allow yourself such, to say such a thing? How do you allow your mouth to speak such words? The Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen said, not my words, إِنَّ هَذَا الْقِيَاسِ فِي مُقَابِلَةُ النَّصِ وَهُوَ مَرْدُودٌ فَاسِدَ الْاِعْتِبَارِ. That this qiyas that they are making, this analogy, this analytical reasoning, intellectual conclusions that they are coming to, this qiyas, in the face of the nas, the textual statement from the Prophet ﷺ, it is mardood, rejected. It is fasid al-i'tibar, it is invalid. It has no weight whatsoever. So whoever said that you can give money, the Shaykh is saying that their reasoning and their intellectual conclusions, it is rejected and it is invalid. We should not give it any consideration whatsoever. Now the Shaykh, he says, Na'am. Yes, someone might say, or we might say, إِنَّ الْأَنْفَعَ أَن نُخْرِجُهَا مِنْ دَرَاهِمْ. It's possible that someone might say, it is more beneficial. It is more beneficial if we distribute it as cash money. Because if we distribute it as cash money, then they will benefit from it, the cash money. I'm saying that they might use it for whatever they need it for. Maybe they don't want to buy food. Maybe they want to buy some clothes or pay their rent or something. So that's true. They will benefit from it. وَلَكِنْ مَدَامَ الْأَمْرَ مَنْصُوصًا عَلَيْهِ فَإِنَّهُ لَا عُدُولَ لَنَا عَمَّا نَصَّ عَلَيْهِ الشَّرْعُ فَالشَّارِعُ أَعْلَمُ مِنَّا. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen, he is saying that yes, somebody might say that giving money is more beneficial because people will benefit from it, like maybe in many different ways. However, madam al-amr mansus alayhi, as long as this particular matter has a textual evidence from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stating, clarifying, making clear what is the ruling concerning it, then it's not permissible for us to leave that which has been textually stated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Sharia. It's not permissible for us to leave that and go to something else. Because the one who has legislated this, he is the most knowing, the most knowledgeable. He is more knowledgeable than us and anyone from amongst the human beings. Then the Shaykh says, it is possible, قَدْ يَكُونَ, it's possible in this time that giving cash might be better than giving food. That's possible. Better from the sense that people might feel that cash at this time is more important to us. And sometimes, in some periods, in some places, people might say, I'd rather have food than money. Maybe I have a lot of money, but there's no food in the market. The crops have been destroyed and there's nothing available and you have pockets of money. So you don't want money, you want some food. Maybe in another time, person say, I'd rather have money than food. Maybe another different time people say different things. That's possible. From time to time things may change. That's the point that the Shaykh is saying here. It's possible that in this time, cash might be considered better than food. However, there may come a time in which food may be better than cash. Rather, it might come a time when one sa'a of food might be equal in value to a sa'a of silver. Meaning a person had a big sa'a, can of silver, food, the sa'a of food might be equal in value to that. In a time when there's no food available. People don't want cash. They don't want silver or gold or dollar bills if there's no food in the market. They want some food. So we don't know how the conditions of the times may change from one time or one place to another. But the Shaykh says, all of that is possible, yes. But we go back to the original rule, what? But this is what Allah has legislated. And Allah knows the times will change and conditions will change. But Allah has legislated this for all times. So the Shaykh says, the people, if you said to them, distribute it as cash, and then they became accustomed to distributing it as cash, صعب عليهم الانتقال فيما بعد إلى إخراجها من الطعام. Then it will become difficult. After that, once they got used to giving money, it will become difficult for them to start giving food after that. Huh? Huh? What did you say? Right now. They got used to giving money. When you tell them food, people, oh, it's too difficult. That's what the Shaykh is saying. And maybe he doesn't know what has happened here in America. But that's what it is. There will come a time when the people got used to giving money, then they're too difficult. Go buy food, got to carry it, you got to take it to somebody. Man, just give them $10. Khalas, I'm through with it. That's easier. But that's not what Allah has legislated. So it will become difficult. And that's because giving the money, just taking $10 of your pocket, $15, $20 of your pocket, and hand it to somebody, and you throw with it. You ain't even got to look nobody to give it to. Just give it to the guy in the masjid, I'm through. Drop it in the box in the masjid, and you through. He said, this is ashal wa aysa. This is easier. Easier to do that. If that was permissible, right? Easier. But this is not good. Because if food became very expensive, and its price goes very high, then the person now who got used to giving money, he will find difficulty in giving food that now became very expensive. He used to just give $10. Now if you told him he has to give food and the price of rice is $50, now he's not going to be able to give no food. I ain't giving no food, I'm giving my $10. Because he got used to giving $10. Now the price of food went up. How many times did we see in the land when price of certain things went up? Skyrocket, crazy. So now, you give the person $10 who's poor, and the day of he can't buy nothing with $10. Can't buy anything with it. So he doesn't eat. Because Allah intended for them, the people to eat. So he said, have to give them food. Doesn't matter what's the value of the food from one time to another, but food, because people have to eat on that day. That's the point. So for this reason, al-hikmah bila shak, hiya ma qala bihi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that the wisdom about which there is no doubt is that which has been said by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not what has been said by the people, by their opinions and their views and their own rulings. Now the Shaykh, he says, okay, some of the people say, and this probably doesn't happen here, but it happens in Saudi Arabia for sure. I've seen it with my own eyes many times. Some of the people say, because they don't want to give food, they want to give money. So they come with different kinds of arguments. So this is one of the arguments. They said, if we give the poor person a sa'a from food, then he will sell it. Because he doesn't want food, he wants money. So he will sell it. And we see him with our own eyes, selling it in front of us after we gave it to him. He doesn't even wait till we leave. He goes right and sells it to anybody who wants to buy it. He sells it for half the price that we paid for it. Or less than that. Or more than that. Whatever he can sell it for. So what did he mean here? So why should we might as well just give them money. That's what they want. Don't give them food. Okay, this is the argument that some people came with. So the Shaykh says, we say to them, نَحْنُ لَسْنَا عَلَيْنَا مِنْ فِعْلَ الْفَقِيَ شَيْءٌ. We have nothing to do with what the poor person does with it after we give it to him. We have nothing to do with that. بَلْ عَلَيْنَا أَن نَفْعَلَ مَا أُمِرْنَا بِهِ. Rather, it is obligatory upon us to do what we have been commanded to do. As far as the faqir, what he does, we have nothing to do with that. We have to do what we are ordered to do. And we say, سَمِعْنَا وَعْطَعْنَا. We hear and we obey. And we give the food. Then the poor person who now controls that food that we gave to him, it's his property now, he has the choice to do whatever he wills. So if he wills, he may eat it. And if he wills, he may store it up and save it for another day. And if he wills, he may sell it. And if he wills, he may give it as a gift to someone. And if he wills, he may give it as a sadaqah on behalf of himself on the for sadaqatul fitr. So we have nothing to do with this. But the thing that we have been commanded with, the thing that we have commanded with is to distribute it as a sa'a from food. Now the Shaykh says, this is a serious matter. He says, وَمَا مَوْقِفُنَا أَمَامَ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ إِذَا خَالَفْنَا مَا فَرَضَهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَهَلْ لَنَا هُجَّةٌ أَن نَقُولُ يَا رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا رَأَيْنَا إِنَّ الدِّرَاهِمْ خَيْرًا أَبَدًا أَبَدًا. What will be our position in front of Allah Azza wa Jalla if we oppose what has been made obligatory by the Messenger of Allah? Will we have any proof to stand upon such that we will say, oh our Lord, we felt, we believed, it's our opinion and our view that it was better to give money. You will say that to Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah? When He asks you, what did you do with what the Prophet ﷺ ordered you to do? You say, well, I thought it was better. Will you say that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allahu Akbar. Indeed, the khair is what has been chosen by Allah for us. And what has been chosen by the Messenger of Allah for us. So, O servants of Allah, don't go far away with this qiyas, such that you went outside of what has been made obligatory by Allah upon us. For indeed, uqulana muttahima, our intellects are suspect. They should be questioned when they oppose what Allah has legislated. However smart you may think you are, the intellect of the human being, when it opposes what Allah has legislated, is muttahima. It is suspect. It needs to be questioned. We have to wonder what happened to the intellect. Did the person lose his mind? Something wrong with you. You got sick or something. Because our intellects, the Shaykh said, our intellects, they are suspect. Because our intellects are qasira. Yani they are short, sighted, defective, not perfect and complete. But as far as what Allah has legislated, the law of Allah, it is perfect and complete. It is from Allah Azza wa Jalla. And there is no possibility that it has any defect or any shortcoming in what Allah has legislated. Indeed, our intellects do not go beyond what we can see in our time. We are looking at it from this time period only. We are not seeing the history and the future. And Allah knows everything. But the knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jalla is muhit. Al-muhit bi kulli shayin. It covers, it encompasses everything. So what has been made obligatory upon us is that we distribute this sadaqatul fitr as a sa'a from food. For indeed, Allah is all-knowing and His knowledge has no end to it. And the Shaykh closes by saying, فَإِنِّي أَقُولُ ذَلِكَ نَصْحًا لَكُمْ وَإِقَامَةً لِلْحُجَّةِ وَإِبْرَاءً لِلْذِمَّةِ حَتَّى لَا يَغْتَرَّ مُغْتَرٌ بِمَا يَرَاهُ بَعَدُ الْفُقَهَا لِأَنَّ كُلُّ الْإِنسَانِ يُؤْخَذْ مِنْ قَوْلِهِ وَيُطْرَقْ إِلَّا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So verily, I say what I have said, nashan lakum, yani as an advice for you. Huh? The Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah is saying, I'm saying what I'm saying is advice for you. Wa iqamatan lil hujja, and to establish the proof of what is correct and what is right. To establish the proof so people will not be in doubt. There's evidence and clear proof. The hujjah has been established. Nobody has a right after the hujjah has been established to oppose it, except they will answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any excuse. There will be no escape. وَإِبْرَاءَ لِلْذِمَّةِ, and also to free myself from blame. So I will not be blamed. Allah will not hold me responsible. I have made the matter clear. I have made the matter clear. And so that no person who might be deceived will be deceived by the view of some of the scholars of fiqh. Well, Imam Abu Hanifa said this. Or Imam Bukhari said this. Or whoever said this. Don't be deceived by that. By the name or the magnitude of the status of the person who said it. Yes, they are scholars. But the Shaykh said, we should not be deceived by such. Because every human being, whether it's Abu Hanifa, whether it's Imam Bukhari, whoever it may be, every human being, يُؤْخَذْ مِنْ قَوْلِهِ وَيُطْرَقْ إِلَّا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Every human being, we will take some of what he says, and we will leave some of it. We are not required to take everything that anybody has said, except Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So you can bring whoever said it, doesn't matter. We are not obligated to follow the opinion, the saying of anyone. We are only obligated to follow what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said. What he has said is clear. وَإِذَا كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ فَرْضَهَا صَعًا مِنْ تَمْرَ أَوْ شَعِيرٌ وَهُوَ طَعَامٌ ذَلِكَ الْوَقْتِ فَإِنَّنَا سَنَرْفَضُ كُلَّ قَوْلٍ سِوَاهُ لِكَوْلِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. So if the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم has made it obligatory, as a sa'a from dates, or a sa'a from sha'ir, barley, and that was the food of the people of that time, as Abu Sa'id al-Khudri in his hadith said. He said, we used to distribute it as sa'a min ta'am. وَكَانَ ta'amuna at-tamra wal-zabib wal-sha'ir wal-aqd. That we used to distribute as a sa'a of food. And our food at that time was such and such and so and so. Dates and raisins and barley and aqd. So if it is that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made it obligatory as a sa'a of tamr or sha'ir, and that was the food of that time, then we will reject every saying besides it. Meaning, no matter who says it. We will reject it for what? For the saying of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the end of what the Shaykh has said. I will just make a few extra comments before we have a few minutes for question. Yeah, thank you. Jazakallah khair. I do have a question here. Before that, I'm going to just quote quickly from a book dealing with Zakatul Fitr, the obligatory charity after fast of Ramadan by Sheikh Ahmed ibn Abdul Aziz Hamdan. Question came to him, is it permissible to pay money in place of food as Zakatul Fitr? He said, no, this is not permissible. If money is paid instead of food, it would not be accepted as fulfilling the obligations of Zakatul Fitr. And the food would still be required to be distributed. As Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen said in one of his fatawa, that if the government, the people over you force you to give money, then give it. But you still have to give the food that Allah has made obligatory upon you. You still have to give it. You don't say, but they forced me and I gave it, I'm through. No, you're not through until you do what Allah has ordered you to do. This is so. Why this money will not fulfill the obligation? Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered that it be paid, that it be distributed in food. And if money was acceptable to fulfill the obligation of Zakatul Fitr, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would have ordered us to distribute it in money instead of food or along with food. So since he did not mention money, this indicates to us that food itself was intended. This is what the Sahaba understood, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. They therefore used to distribute Zakatul Fitr only as food. And there's no exception to this. We don't find any record, not even in a weak hadith, that any of the Sahaba distributed anything except food. There's absolutely no narration from anyone stating that he paid money or allowed it in the lifetime of the Prophet ﷺ. On the contrary, they unanimously agreed by ijma', consensus, that the obligation of Zakatul Fitr is only fulfilled with the distribution of food. This is the position of the majority of scholars past and present, including Imams Malik, Ash-Shafi and Ahmed, rahimahumullah. And if there is a minority opinion, we're not really caring about whose opinion it is, with all due respect to the scholar, but not when it is in opposition to the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imam Malik, rahimahullah, was asked about a man being in a place where there's no food. Can he distribute Zakatul Fitr in money? Who was asked? Imam Malik. Imam Malik responded by saying, no, wallahi, no. Then he said, is someone in a place where there's no food? Then what is he himself eating? It was then said to Imam Malik, he is residing in that place for 1 or 2 months only. Imam Malik then responded with, if he returns to his land, he should distribute Zakatul Fitr and food. And he cannot give it out as anything other than food. This is in Al-Mudawwana, in one of the famous books of fiqh of Imam Malik. And closing, it was said to Imam Ahmed, what about a people who say, so-and-so of the scholars held the opinion of the permissibility of giving zakatul fitr in money. Huh? Who they asked? Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah. What if someone says, so-and-so of the scholars, great scholars with big names, may Allah have mercy upon them all, hold the opinion of the permissibility of giving zakatul fitr in money. Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah, said, they leave the saying of the Messenger of Allah and say, so-and-so of the scholars says? While Ibn Umar informed us that the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, made it obligatory, the distribution of zakatul fitr in food. And Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, وَأَطِيُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيُوا الرَّسُولُ, and obey Allah and obey the Messenger. So these people are rejecting the sunan of the Messenger of Allah. For so-and-so said, so-and-so said. Wallahu musta'an. There are some other fatawa that we don't have time to complete for today. But there are some other fatawa from Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen. Inshallah, we have a few copies that we can distribute. And we also will send it by email. We have our internet working once again. Allahu Akbar. We'll send it by email, inshallah. If we don't have your email address, make sure before you leave you put it on here, we'll send it to you. Now, let me just take the sister's question first, because they are far away and we'll forget about them. If a single woman who has a job, but she never paid zakatul fitr, does she have to pay back the years she did not pay? And her children who are not of age, does she have to pay for them? Or is the ex-husband responsible? As far as paying the back, Allahu A'lam, I don't know. But if a woman has a job, or anybody has a job, and they didn't pay zakatul fitr in the past, and it wasn't paid on their behalf, then they should pay it. They should pay it, even if it is late. Because it's obligation. If a person can fulfill the obligation, then they must do it. And her children who are not of age, doesn't matter. Even if the child was just born. If the child is living on the time when they became obligatory, then every person, as in the hadith of Abdul Ibn Umar, he said, الصغير والكبير والذكر والأنثى والحر والعبد من المسلمين. Slave or free, young or old, male or female, the Muslims, from the Muslims. Every Muslim has to be paid. The child, not of age, whoever is responsible for them has to pay it. If there is a father of that child, then it's obligatory not upon the mother but upon the father. And if the father is irresponsible and the mother wants to pay it on behalf of the child, it is ibadah. Huh? It is ibadah. If a person has it, why wouldn't they give it? If the person who's responsible doesn't give it, and you are able to give it, you will get the reward. You take it. Right? Yes. Every one of us will take it, inshallah. Yes. Naam, question. Your question. Walaikum salam. Muslims. Zakatul fitr is for the Muslims. Because why? So that the people will enjoy the day of Eid. Who is enjoying the day of Eid? The day of Eid is for the Muslims. For the Muslims, not for Kafirs. If you can't find one, then when you find one, give it to them. When you find one. Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen said, the person who is excused from paying it on time, and they can pay it later as well, the person who doesn't have it to give. Yes. Then when he gets it, he should give it. The person who doesn't find anyone to give it to, when he finds someone, then give it to them. Even if after the fact. We don't let it get away, because this is a great act of worship. If it is late, it is better late than not at all. Anyway, the person who has an excuse, inshallah, they will get the full reward, as though they have given it on time, if they have a legitimate excuse. But from now, we should be looking. Alhamdulillah, we have begun to make a list, and I hope that list will be present tonight of some of the people who we know can receive. And I would like to say, just in brief, we already mentioned it before, zakatul fitr can be received by any person who doesn't have enough means to take care of their obligations. Meaning, the person has a job, and they make $200 a week, or $300 a week, or $400 a week. But their bills, their expenses, their rent, and their clothing, and their transportation, more than that. So even though they have money, and they have a job, but they don't have enough, that person is entitled to receive. And if they have more than enough on that day of their Eid, then they're also obligated to give. Now, now, if the Imam or the leader of the Muslims in any Jama'ah or any community or any city or country or state tells the people, don't do what the Prophet ﷺ have ordered us to do, how do we reconcile with that? I think it's easy to reconcile with that. We should stay away from such people. Run from them. Run from them. Get some skates or a skateboard or a bicycle or something and get far away. May Allah guide them. May Allah guide them. The Shaykh al-Uthaymeen have made it crystal clear. If somebody has a different view, alhamdulillah, we are not the judge of people. But you have to protect yourself. When you know that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam have made something obligatory upon you, he has made crystal clear what you are obligated to do, and somebody came and told you, don't worry about that. Listen to what I am saying. Even if he said, some scholars said, what did the Shaykh just get finished saying? What did Imam Ahmed say when the people came to him and said, so and so from the scholars said this? So they give up what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said for what so and so said from scholars? That's insanity. That is the type of insanity. That the person may not be in the insane asylum, but it is a type of insanity. May Allah guide us. Naam akhi. This book is Shaykh al-Uthaymeen's book, Al-Jami' li-Ahkam Fiqh al-Sunnah. It's a collection that was collected after he passed away. Okay, a collection of the legal rulings that's from the fiqh of the sunnah, from Shaykh al-Uthaymeen. Naam. Tayyib, we're going to stop here. Naam, go ahead. Now, we are saying, some of the scholars have said that zakatul fitr, if you look at all the things that's mentioned in sunnah, dates, barley, wheat, aqd, and other things that are mentioned, we know that all of these things, what they have in common, three things. Number one, they are things that can be stored and preserved. Number two, they are, all of them are measured by volume. And number three, all of them are from the staple food of the people. Of that time, as Abu Sa'id al-Khudri said, and our food at that time was such and such and so and so. But maybe the staple food today might be amongst people something different. But it should be from the staple food of the people, something that they can preserve. So if one person who is entitled to receive, receives zakatul fitr from 10 people, he cannot eat it all on the day of Eid. So what will he do with it if it spoils? But it should be from that which he can store. So then he can use it next week and next month and keep it. So he doesn't have to dispose of it in one time. So these are the three factors that it should include. It should be from the staple food of the people, it should be that which can be stored and preserved, and it should be that which is weighed by volume. It should be that which is weighed by volume. Shaykh al-Uthaymeen talked about it a little bit more, and the fatwa that I didn't read because of time, and you'll see it there. And a couple of points quickly I want to make is that one person can receive more than one zakatul fitr. So if you have five people in your family, and you want to give five portions of zakatul fitr to one person, you can do it. And likewise, one portion of zakatul fitr can be distributed to more than one person. You can give half and half to two different people. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika.